Welcome back, everybody. We are here at St. U, unfortunately, in our virtual studio once again. I'm here with my partner in crime, Sammy Van Noorsen. Sammy, what's
Yo. Hey. We're just home in Colorado. Just been here for the holidays. But yeah, things have been good. Ryan, how's your time? I mean, I guess you're not really on a winter break, but...
Well, winter breaks are gone.
Ugh.
Like 4 days off at Christmas, just with Christmas Eve and Christmas, and then I got weekend days, so I guess those weren't really days off, those were like what I normally have. So
this is adulthood.
Yeah, welcome to being an adult. But no, it was good. I got to spend some time with my family, and it was great just hanging out with them. We had a lot of fun, so
great.
Really happy to be back, happy for the new year. Starting Exodus 90 in like 4 days, no, 2 days. By the way, everybody, is like right at the beginning of the new year when we're when we're recording this. Who knows, it might go up in like 2 weeks. No, I hope sooner than that. But yeah, we're right at the beginning of the new year, and really excited. But yeah, starting Exodus 90 next week, this week, and it's going to be exciting and challenging. Yeah.
Are you excited? Are you feeling, what are the feelings, the initial feelings that you're having?
Oh man, I am excited. For those of you who don't know Exodus 90, it is a 90-day spiritual exercise for men. And this, I'm quoting from their website right now. It's based on three pillars: prayer, asceticism, and fraternity. And these pillars, they say, are essential aspects of the Christian life, which is very true. And so over the course of 90 days, the whole point is like really to focus in and to drill into that. So requires every day spending an hour, like one whole hour, not like 15 minutes and 15 minutes and 15 minutes in prayer. And then there's going to be like, then there's a set of ascetic lifestyle practices too. So, and some of them include like, you have to take cold showers every day just to be like, I don't even know, just to stop just having that luxury of hot water. You're taking every day, you're making sure you exercise. There's no alcohol during the 90 days. There's no desserts during the 90 days. There's no snacking. So that's a lot of things, no TV, that you push away from for just 90 days. That's a lot. Like, I'm nervous. Like yesterday I was sitting in my room and I was on my phone. Like after like YouTube video number 6, I was like, oh God, I can't do this then during those 90 days. Like I probably shouldn't be doing it now anyways. But it's going to be so difficult. But the part that I'm most excited about is that Exodus 90 really emphasizes fraternity. And you see there's a brotherhood group of men that you'll be together with in the program. So our group, I think, is 6 or 7. And we meet weekly just over, I think it's going to be a Zoom call, but I'm not sure about exactly what platform we're using. And then daily check-ins with someone who's called your anchor. So really excited. I don't know much more besides that. I'm happy to share more about this experience as it progresses. It'll be over just in time for Easter. So I hope it'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm sure you'll find it very interesting from your own individual perspective, but I'm excited to see, like, from a friend perspective, like, just like witness like how it affects you in all the ways. So excited that you're sharing that journey, Ryan. Super excited.
It's gonna be cool. I'd be happy to share my experiences with you, with the podcast community. If you have any questions about it, feel free to ask Sammy for sure here, and all of our friends who are listening to our podcast. You can always reach out to us by DMs at our Instagram. Give it a follow. St. U 2020, I think. But I'll double check on that before the end.
Shameless plug.
All right.
Cool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real treat today. I was realizing as I was scrolling through our episodes and like thinking about what we talked about. We talked about some really cool things so far. We got Hope with Father Jim. We talked about building community in pandemic. We talked about our cell phones and coming prepared to mass. But what we really realized is that for some people who are listening to this, you don't have necessarily a grasp of who Sammy or I am, besides kind of a casual banter in this. And so I thought, what a cool experience it would be to learn a little bit about one of our hosts. And so today, we're putting the spotlight on Sammy. And Sammy is, this is my big before the dinner guest's speech. This is my introduction. Sammy is, besides being a great friend of mine, has been really influential leader in our University of Portland campus community for campus ministry, as well as within her dorm community. She's really just such a great light, bringing people into community with one another. And she always shows God through that. But what many people who don't know Sammy might not be able to see is that Sammy converted to the faith. And so today's podcast, or maybe an interview if you want to call it, well, I should be talking and learning a little bit about Sammy's experience in becoming Catholic, and experiencing and taking on her own Christian identity. I'm really excited to hear the story. I've heard bits and pieces of it over the past 4 years knowing Sammy, but now really to get to stop and just to spend this time just to hear the story. I think conversion stories are so important because they really show the power of Christ and his way that he walks out and he embraces all of us as friends, no matter where we're at, whether what faith community we're from. Jesus went to Jews, Gentiles, everyone in his time, and he still continues to today. And I think that's such an amazing and wonderful thing. And so glad that Sammy is here. Obviously, I mean, she doesn't have a choice. He's part of the show, but she's so glad that she's willing to participate and to share this with us. So, Sammy, what do you think? Are you ready for this?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Let's do it. So, this is weird. I'm interviewing you.
I know.
It's a bit different, but no, this is, I feel like today it's a completely different show. Sammy, well, before you were Catholic, I mean, you are Catholic now, but there was a time in your life that you weren't. And I was kind of curious, you know, before then, did you have, what role did faith play in your life? Was it something that, you know, you were part of a different spiritual community, or was it something that there wasn't much spiritual community for you beforehand? Where did that come from, or where did your faith start out, I guess, prior to even your idea to convert to become Catholic?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was baptized Episcopalian, and you know, at the time, honestly, until about middle school, faith was really just kind of like a, you know, you go to Sunday mass or you go to a Sunday service on, you know, Palm Sunday, Easter, and Christmas. Like, I think those were like the three specific Sundays that I remember always going to a Sunday service. And my, you know, it wasn't like my family like wasn't into practicing or anything, but we just, it wasn't a part of like our daily or our weekly routine of going to a Sunday service. My mom always told us to like say our prayers before we go to bed and, you know, to pray out of hope and, you know, of love for God, but it wasn't really like a very deep connection that I had with my faith when I was younger. I remember I had a few friends that I met like at the beginning of middle school who were Catholic, and they talked about this idea of going to mass every Sunday. And I was like, why would you go to mass every Sunday? Like, why would you have to? I mean, I only go a couple of times and I don't think I'm any less spiritual than you. So, it was really just, you know, a very casual thing that just like, you know, happened in my life. And it was just kind of what you did. It was just, you know, kind of almost like a formality. But it wasn't, again, I met those people in middle school, and I had, you know, a few Catholic friends that invited me to a youth group. And I'd been to a couple of youth groups before, but I wasn't afraid to go to this new youth group or anything. But I went to this youth group this one night, and it was just for middle schoolers, and we were just playing like so many fun games, and the energy was just through the roof. And I was like, wow, this place feels like different. from all of the other youth groups that I've been to. And I think that was like the first night that the youth ministers started talking about the saints. And I was like, what are the saints? Like, I thought, you know, like saints, like they're just like this distant, like, they're like, I honestly just thought they were like angels, like saints were angels,
right?
That we just didn't know about. But they started talking about these real people that like lived their faith in this radical way and were somehow, you know, revered it differently in the Catholic Church as like these role models. And I was like, that is amazing. Like, what? And I was like, what do I do with this information? And I remember coming home and telling my parents all this stuff about it. And they were like, wow, that's really cool. And I kept wanting to go. And I continued to go throughout middle school until it was like the turning point from there. I still kind of had that idea of like, yeah, like I'm going to this for fun. Like my faith is honestly just this fun thing. Like I just like being in community. I like the fun games. I'm learning all this cool stuff. Like, yeah, I can go to a Catholic youth ministry or program and just that could be it for me. You know, I didn't have to like convert or anything. But we were preparing for confirmation because at the time the Archdiocese of Denver required freshmen to convert continue with the sacrament of confirmation at the beginning or at the end of your freshman year of high school, and instead of the program, like the parish having a year-long just regular youth group, like you spent a year going through the confirmation program your freshman year. And to prepare for that, the group that I had been hanging out with at the youth, you know, in the middle school youth program, was they were like, we should go to confession to prepare for, you know, this beginning. And I was like, what the heck is confession? Like, I literally had never heard of that. I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, yeah, so you like go and you sit in front of a priest and you tell them your sins. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, I like had mine when I was like in, you know, fourth or fifth grade. And I was like, I never had that. Like, so I was just
not
really
confession in the Episcopalian church.
No. Oh, or maybe we didn't. Well, and honestly, like, yeah. And honestly, in the Episcopalian church, like I hadn't even had my first communion. Like I had just been baptized and would just go to service. Like I never got into like the routine of, yeah, being really a part of a parish. I kind of like bounced back from a few different Episcopalian churches.
Gotcha. Didn't have the connection necessarily with them to maybe even
right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I'll give it a try. Like, I mean, if my friends are going to do it, then like, I'll totally go to confession. And I came home and told my parents, and my mom was like, I don't think you can do that because you're not Catholic. And I was like, well, what do you mean I can't do that? Like, if I'm not Catholic, like, what does that mean? And then my mom tried to explain. She was like, well, like in the Catholic Church, like you, like they don't, she didn't really like explain it. She explained it to the best of her ability, but, it sparked interest in me to reach out to one of the youth ministers. And so I asked her like why I couldn't go to this and like, what does this mean for me moving forward? Like I really loved this youth group and I really loved the people that I was in the youth group with to the point where I didn't want to leave it. And the youth minister gave me an option. She was like, I'll let you go through the confirmation program and use it as a discernment process. If you want to become Catholic, you can go through this this program with your friends. You can stay in the group that, you know, you formed in your middle school years and, you know, just like listen, just pay attention to what you're learning and you don't have to decide until the year passes. So I was like, okay, like that sounds great to me. And truly just throughout the whole year, I was like, this is like a lot of fun, but like, do I really want to become Catholic? Like, do I really want to like make this whole life transition? Because I was learning so much. I was going to the Mass every Sunday and I was going to youth group every week, and I was like, wow, this is like a big commitment. Like, this isn't just fun and games. Like, this is like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that was something that was like, I needed that year. I needed that year of practicing that in order to just understand what I was getting myself into.
Well, that's really actually such a unique and cool way to actually get to discern. Like, I think it's so awesome that your youth minister like invited you into that type of discernment. And I think it's really good that you also didn't rush it. You spent that whole year just like thinking about it. Like, obviously, I think the church is a beautiful thing, but I think with any decision, it takes time. And so it was very prudential of your youth minister to tell you, you know what, take the time, sift through what we're teaching you, figure it out, and then that you can make that decision. I think that's a beautiful piece of your discernment.
Yeah, it was huge, and I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have that, because it was so crucial and so important to, it was so formative. And even though I didn't, I really wasn't in it like for the whole year, I was just really in it for the community and like the fun. It wouldn't have been as, my final, like the moment that was the moment, which we'll talk about in a second, would not have been as fruitful and effective if I didn't have that time and I didn't have that intentional space that my youth minister granted me. The youth minister I'm talking about is now a sister of life in New York. She's super cool. Just going to shout that out. But anyways, so at the end of the program, we had this retreat, like this confirmation retreat that we would like go up into the Colorado mountains and just like spend a weekend and, do this like really intentional time in prayer and community. And it was like a lead up to like, I think 2 weeks before the confirmation service happened. And on the retreat, there was a skit that they were doing that was like super, super powerful. And I remember watching the skit and just like being so moved about how there were these regular high school peer leaders coming to witness to us freshmen about why what we're doing here is important and why what we're doing here is effective and fruitful and just for the good of our soul. And right after the skit, I will never forget, we watched the scene from The Passion where Jesus is scourged. And I've seen like King of Kings, Ten Commandments, like all of those old biblical movies. And it's not that they're not powerful, but they're very, they're very production-y, very Hollywood-esque. Like, they're not very...
Christ is different.
yeah. Like, they're not very accurate. And so this was the first time, if you've ever seen The Passion, it's Mel Gibson's, honestly, best film. Anyway, but you're literally seeing an accurate portrayal of what happened to Jesus the day that he was crucified. The blood, like this movie does not leave any detail unnoticed. Like, you watch the scourging weapon like go into his back and like the blood just spewing from his back, and I just was watching this. I was 14 at the time, and I was like, what? Like, I'd never seen Jesus like that before. Like, that is crazy, and yet it happened. And I remember feeling so guilty and so remorseful. I was like, I did that. Like, this is my fault. I've done this. This is your fault, Sammy. This is your fault for not believing. This is your fault for turning away from Jesus in the times when he never turned away from you. And yeah, I was like weeping. And then the clip finished. And the other youth minister comes on stage and says, "We don't show this to make you feel bad or to make you feel guilty, but to remind you of how much God's love is abundant for you and that he did that for you out of love and that you have a choice. You have a choice now to love him back." And I was like, what? That is beyond me. Like,
that's so amazing right after you're thinking, this is all my fault, just to be like, wait, no, this is love. That's so cool.
Yeah. So it was powerful, to say none the least. And it was a turning point for me then, right then and there. And then so right after we watched the clip, we decided to go into Eucharistic adoration. I, as still an Episcopalian, you know, going through this confirmation program, had no idea what that was. And they pulled out this monstrance. The priest walked out, you know, with this monstrance in hand, and the Eucharist, which is the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Catholic Church, you know, what communion is. And the Catholics believe that that is Jesus himself. And so I was like, this is so new to me, but, you know, like, I just have this feeling. I just have this feeling that this is really purposeful. This is legit. And we were just kneeling in front of the Eucharist, and this beautiful worship music was playing. And I just remember thinking and looking up at the host and looking up at the Eucharist and thinking, wow, like, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm doing. This is what all of that time was meant for. This is what all of that community, all of that fun, that's what this is all about. And I was looking at the monstrance because it was like a gold and wooden monstrance, and it was like sparkling because we had like a little spotlight on it. And I just remember looking at the monstrance and looking at the Eucharist and thinking, like, wow, Jesus, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful in that scene in the Passion. And you're also so beautiful now. Like, this is beauty itself. And it was so overwhelming, and it was so powerful. And I will forever look back on that moment and think that was it. Like, I wanted to become Catholic. Like, I wanted to be a part of this full time. Like, this is a full time thing. Like, we're in, yes, Sammy. Like, welcome. This is. Yeah, yeah.
That is so amazing.
Yeah. So then the confirmation program went through, like, you know, they had the service, and of course I couldn't get confirmed or anything, but I went to the service and I saw all my friends get confirmed, and this, it just really solidified how I wanted that. Like, I wanted to be with Jesus, and I wanted to be with this community that opened their arms to me and loved me and, you know, revealed themselves to me in all of its truth. So I decided to go to RCIA, which is the
Catholic Initiation for Adults.
Yes, yes, yes.
I put note for you.
Yeah. And so I decided to do that. And not only did I decide, but my mom and my sister also decided to go through it with me. So we went through the program together for the year. We learned a lot about, you know, just like, we learned about the sacraments. We learned about the history behind the church. And we learned about a lot of the, just a lot of doctrine. And I, at the Easter Vigil later that year, at this time I was 15, this was my sophomore year, I was finishing up my sophomore year, I got confirmed and had my first communion at the Easter Vigil, and I haven't been the same ever since. It's what honestly, you know, kept me through high school. Like, I befriended these people in the youth group that are still my friends today, it's part of the reason why I am at UP. I wanted to go, if I was going to go out of state for college, I wanted to go to a Catholic university, and it's a huge part of why I'm doing this podcast, because I just truly believe that the presence of Jesus Christ is like so abundant in my heart, and it's so abundant in the Catholic Church. I've just found so much community, so much love, and so much truth in it. So yeah, it's crazy when I think about it, because that's like, it's so much of who I am, and it's who I still want to be. Like, to even think that this happened in sophomore year, and now I'm about to graduate in May, like, that it's gonna walk with me through the rest of my life, and I think that's such a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I've heard at least a decent portion of that story before, but every time I hear a conversion story, especially yours, it's just such an uplifting thing.
Aww.
So thank you. Sammy's just sharing that again with me. I've got a couple questions for you, if you don't
Yeah,
mind, just
absolutely.
about your experience. First of all, just going through that and getting to like experience it with starting the faith with, it was just like a way to experience community and like just to be friends. And then there was that turning point where it's like, I know you still appreciate the community, but then it became like, no, this is what I want. I'm doing this because I want that friendship with God. I think that part is so cool to me. It stands out to me. What did you feel like after you realized that the relationship that you were seeking was not just the relationship to hang out with your friends, but also the relationship with God? Did you feel like those relationships with your friends grew because of that? Like, how was that for you?
Yeah, I think that turning point was really formative because it opened my heart up to asking questions and talking to those people in that community and thinking like, are you guys experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing? And what are you experiencing as you're seeing this? Because I'm seeing this in this moment and I'm mind blown. Like, I need to share this with someone. And so it opened up a lot of conversations with my community that left me in a huge place to be supported and to be, to question. It was such a great space for me to continue to learn and continue to grow in with these other people. And we weren't afraid to ask those questions. We weren't afraid to question why this life was so different from, a world without and, secular world. And we all started to grow together as we asked questions. And it's still been a place for us to question and to think about what our existence means and everything like that. I also found that it was so natural. Like, it was just so natural for us to go to mass together and to go to adoration and to just do, to participate in these activities and to participate in the church. It just felt natural that we were all doing it together. It felt better to do it with other people than it did by myself. Not that it did, I mean, maybe not necessarily like better, but it felt different and it felt more powerful and it felt more I mean, communal, obviously, but yeah, it was. It felt like we just kind of felt unstoppable. I mean, I felt just supported in a way that I had never have before, and to just know that I'm not the only one, because it's faith is such a, it's such a scary thing. Like, it's faith. Like, you have to hope that, you have to, even in the things that you don't see and understand, you have to have faith in those things. So to know that I wasn't the only person alone, I wasn't walking this journey alone. Even though my friends had grown up Catholic, they were raised in the church. Like, I was walking through RCIA, I was walking through my conversion with them, and they were walking beside me. So it was huge. So sick.
So then, Sammy, if you're someone who is not Catholic, but you're considering it, or even if you're, let's just start with you're considering it. What is some advice you'd offer to someone who is considering becoming Catholic?
I would totally just say never be afraid to ask questions, even if you feel like people are going to judge you or, or if you think it's the wrong question. Like, asking questions is so crucial. Like, the times when I was like, I would ask, I was like, why do I have to sit in front of a priest and confess my sins? Like, having the courage to go to a priest and ask them that question, or going to someone in the church who I trusted, having the courage to ask that question was huge for me because I learned so much from it. And even if, I don't know, like, a random question that I had, I got an answer that I didn't like, I'd take it to prayer, and I would take it to, I would just think about it. I would think about why did that make me feel on edge, and why does that confuse me? And then I would take it to adoration, and I would take I would take, yeah, all my confusion and all my anxieties and stress about this discerning process, and I would just be reminded of that moment when I was like shown the love on that retreat, and I was reminded of that time that I felt supported by my friends, and I was like, I don't have to know all the answers to still love God, and I don't even have to know the answers for God to love me. So to just trust in the process and to ask difficult questions and lean on the people who you know support you and love you and want the best for you. That's probably what I would give them.
That was a great answer. I think a lot of that is good for those of us who are Catholic and are still trying to find ways to grow in our faith. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that I need to be asking to learn more so I can be strengthened in my resolve to love mm-hmm. God. And I think that was very good. Well, Sammy, that was a beautiful story. And thank you so much for sharing
that.
You have anything else you want to add to that before we get close to signing off for today?
Yeah, just one final thing. I think it's not like I just, my journey stopped when I was confirmed. I'm still asking difficult questions, and it's still a very hard uphill battle. Because I still, like, I'm not an expert, but you don't have to be an expert to be Catholic on, like, God himself. Having a spiritual director has been so, so good. I constantly take those questions to my spiritual director, and I take what I talk about in spiritual direction to prayer, and it has formed me and enabled me to think about faith in a very, very different way that I think has been so, so good. So I would encourage, not only converts, but people who are raised in the faith to just challenge themselves and to ask those difficult questions and to read on the doctrine of the church and to form yourself to just think about difficult things, because it will help your faith, and it will help you understand, or at least try to understand God's love a little bit more, and help you, just help integrate it into your daily life, because this isn't just the Catholic Church, and being Catholic is not just, it's not a trendy thing. It's a way of life.
Thank you, Sammy. Expert testimony from you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Very much. With that, do you want to start us in prayer?
Sure. All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the continual ways that you reveal yourself to us. For all of us born Catholics and converts, we revere, we honor you, and we adore you, and we are so grateful for the continuous ways that you you love us, and you want to reveal yourself to us. We pray on this day, in this new year, that you bestow your grace in our life in a way that we have never experienced, in a way that we are awakened and we are awakened to see you and to love you and adore you.
God, in this time of New Year's resolutions, just help us to grow, to continue to turn ourselves towards you. Sammy said, just be with those who are considering conversion, Lord. Let Sammy's story be something that can be a light to their path. And God, thank you just for Sammy's courage in sharing her experience of conversion with us today. What a true blessing it is to have her leadership, her presence in our church. And thank you for this new year. Help us to make you proud of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. If you are not already following us on Instagram, I'd say you should do so. I looked it up during our episode. It is at SaintU2020. It is the best thing to come out of that year. And you'd like to email us with any questions or anything that you'd like to potentially hear an episode on in the future. You can also reach us at our email, SaintU2020@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, hear what you think about the podcast, and get some ideas for where to go with it in the future. Anything else for you, Sammy?
Nah, sounds good to me. Let's ring in this year with some good St. U content.
All right, 2021. Let's go.
Let's go.
Have a great day, everyone.
Take care. Bye.
Peace.
Nice.